Today's reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thanks, Helen. Good morning, church. Today, we are wrapping up our series on finances. Who here likes money? Who's honest about liking money? Come on, the rest of you. Yes. Yes, I like money. Who knows that everyone actually likes money until it's mentioned at church? Yeah, see, some of you know. It's a bit like that, and then it becomes like a bit of a swear word, right? It's like the pastor says money and everyone's like, oh, that's such a bad word. Don't say that at church. How embarrassing. It's a pretty complicated topic. And it can bring up a range of emotions and thoughts, especially when we talk about it at church. Many people see it as quite a private topic. And what I find is it becomes more private the more you have. And we are a church of diverse cultures, and I suspect that someone's culture also plays a part as to how private the topic of money is. Now, if you are new with us today or tuning in online for the first time, perhaps you have had a not so great experience in a church, not this one, of course, one down the road somewhere. But I worry that you might be thinking, oh no, not another church that talks about money. The church just wants your money. Who knows that? That is how some people think about money and the church. I've heard people say stuff like that. And it may be how you feel about the church and money, and that may have been your experience. But the reality is, like anything in this world, the church requires money to achieve its purposes. Pastor Pete shared with us in the first week of our finances series what some of these purposes are, and hopefully they'll be up there on the screen for you. So community worship, teaching and preaching, providing care, encouraging discipleship and sharing of the gospel, fellowship. The church relies on the generosity of people to be able to meet these purposes. We don't have a secret funnel to the heavens, though that would be easier, Lord, and if I can just put a suggestion in the suggestion box, that would be one that I would ask for. But that's not the case. And the tricky thing is, how do we disciple believers in the area of money, finances, and giving if we don't talk about it? Now, I totally agree that it does seem that some churches talk about money a lot, and I'm not sure that that is always that helpful, but I would say that we probably don't talk about it enough here, and I think that we could be doing our church family a disservice. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about money and giving and generosity, so I think it's good practice to talk about it. Now, after all, we all either use money, have money, want money. We spend a very large portion of our time trying to get money, we work to earn money, or we're spending our money on things, on bills, and things that we need for survival. So it's a pretty big deal. And what I've found over the years is that what people believe about money and about God is often what determines what people do with their money. It determines what we spend our money on, where we invest our money, how much of it we save, and how much and where or if we give it away. So for example, if you believe the words of Jesus as quoted by Paul to the church in Ephesus in Acts 20:35, where it says, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you truly believe that to be true, then I would think that giving and being generous wouldn't be an issue for you. And if you were hoping to be more blessed in your life, then you would turn to these words and you would say, if I want to be more blessed, I could give more. And you would do that. But the challenge is, so many people today think of being more blessed as getting more. When the reality is, according to Jesus, to really experience the blessed life, we must be generous and we will be more blessed as we give. Now, likewise, if we truly believe what is shared in the Proverbs about giving and money, then that too would impact what we do with our finances. So Proverbs 11:24-25 says, one person gives freely. Now, you would think they would have less, right? But the Bible says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another one, though, withholds unduly, that is, they could give, but they don't, and instead of having more, which is what logic says, instead the Bible says they come to poverty. One person gives freely and gains more, another withholds and loses. Now, verse 25 goes on to tell us about what kind of person will prosper. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So one person gives freely and gains even more, and a generous person will prosper. Now let me show you another portion of scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, you don't need to be a farmer to know that if you put a few seeds into the ground, you're just going to get a small harvest. If you put a lot of seeds into the ground, you can expect a larger harvest. It's just a principle. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. He goes on to say, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And Dr. Brian Harris referred to this passage in his message last week. So if you've missed it, go and check it out on our website. Now, this word cheerful, in the Greek, it is actually the word that we get the English word hilarious from, okay? This is the person who goes, wow, we get to give. We are so blessed that we get to give. You know, it means joyful. It means glad. It means overflowing with thanksgiving. It's giving that comes from the soul for the joy of giving. In fact, I love how in the Old Testament they would actually have feasts and entire parties around giving offerings. You know, we are so blessed that we get to party. We get together to party because God has blessed us and has enabled us to give. In 2011, our family lived in Canada and we attended the Life Centre in Abbotsford. And I really think they got this bit right. At the time of giving in the service, they would play this really upbeat song, usually African style, and they would just like dance their way down the aisles to the front because the giving box was at the front, and they would put in their offering into the giving box. And they were just so cheerful. They were cheerful givers. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, verse 8 goes on to say that when you are generous, on the other side of generosity, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now check out verse 11. It says, you will be enriched in every way. Now notice, he is not just talking about finances. If you limit the blessings of God to finances, you are way underestimating the blessings of God. You will be enriched in every way. Now, what could every way include? Certainly, you could be blessed financially or materially. God is a generous God. But even more so, you could be enriched relationally or physically or spiritually. Scripture says you will be enriched in every way, but not so that you could enjoy just for yourself, not so that you could just consume all the material or financial blessings, but instead it says you will be made enriched in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. Now, with all that being said, here is the question that I want you to think about. Knowing that it is more blessed to give than to receive, why aren't more people more generous? If we believe what the Bible says to be true, it would impact what we do with our finances, and I believe that we would be even more generous. So you may ask this morning, why would we spend so much talking about this? You know, 3 weeks is a bit excessive, isn't it? Well, my answer to you is, it's not because of what the church, the pastors, or the church leadership want from you. It's not about that. It's about what we want for you. Do we have expenses as a church that requires money? Yeah, all organizations do. And where is this money going to come from? God's people. You. But what you give is between you and God. What I want for you is for you to be blessed. What I want for you is for you to live a generous life, one that is not a slave to finances or material things. I want financial freedom for you. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. This is a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And what I want for your heart is for it to be right with God. I want it to be right before God. If your heart is for God and for His kingdom, well, that will be where your treasure, your money, your time, and your talents are invested. And the reason that you may find this difficult is that maybe you don't truly believe what the Bible says, or maybe you just don't know what the Bible says. Because if you did know and you did believe, I think how we manage our finances would probably look a bit different, if we're honest. So, I just want to share with you two biblical truths that you can bank your money on. All right, there are hundreds, but I just want to share two with you today because maybe you don't know what the Bible says. Maybe you know it in your head, but it hasn't reached your heart yet. But I believe that if you can get these two, I think it's going to really help in this heart space. So before we get into it, let's just pray that God's Spirit will minister to us in this time. Father God, as we read these truths found in your word, I pray that we won't just hear it intellectually with our ears, but rather we will feel it in our hearts. We pray that your Spirit will help us to internalize the truth of your word today to the point where we can't help but be moved to action for your kingdom's cause. Amen. Amen. So, what are some biblical truths that if we really believed them, it would change the way that we manage our money? Firstly, God richly provides us with everything. I'll say it again. God richly provides us with everything. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world." Let's just pause there. Command those who are rich. Now, you might have just decided that you are not rich and therefore whatever comes next isn't relevant to you. But I've been reading The Barefoot Disciple by Joel Frank, and it might be a resource that you'd like to check out. Now, this guy lives in Western Australia, so there are examples in the book are quite relevant to our setting here. But the calculations shared in this book tell us that if we earn minimum wage in Australia, without dependents, but minimum wage, you are in the top 7.1% of wealthy people in the world. So that's Australian minimum wage. Now, I know that most of you earn a lot more than minimum wage. Maybe some of you double, some triple, some even 4-5 times more than minimum wage, but maybe some even more again. But either way, by the world's standard, even at minimum wage, you are rich in this present world. So I'm talking to you. Okay, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And if your super's doing the same as what my super's been doing for the last few weeks, you know that finances are uncertain. But instead, put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything. And even better, he provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Why? In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. God richly provides us with everything. And if our hope is in him and not actually in money, we wouldn't hold on to it so tightly. Instead, we would do good, we would be generous, and we would be willing to share, because you would know that God will provide you with what you need. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, not according to your riches, but according to his riches." If we believe it, we won't be worried about going without when we give, because God will supply our every need. So firstly, God richly provides us with everything. The second truth that we can bank our money on, God is immutable. He never changes. Who he is never changes. His attributes are the same from the beginning of time into eternity. His character never changes. He never gets better or worse. His plans do not change. His promises do not change. And what all that means, very simply, is that God is dependable. Our trust in him is therefore a confident trust, for we know that he will not, indeed cannot, change. His purposes are unfailing. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." If we believe, if we truly believe this, that God is faithful, that he is trustworthy, that he blesses those who are generous, that he loves us, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. If we truly believe this, how much more will we trust God, be obedient to him, and be people who give? It is my prayer that these truths permeate our hearts today and strengthen our faith and our trust in God and move us to be more generous in all that we do. Malachi 3:6, as we just read, it says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." And it's the first verse under the heading, "A Call to Repentance." And I think what God is challenging the Israelites with here may be a timely challenge for some of us today. Now, it won't be on the screen, but let me just read the rest. So Malachi 3:6 to 12, a call to repentance. "I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight." I wonder if this hits a bit too close to home for some. "You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple." And God says, if you do, I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, we have heard today that God will provide everything for you. God is true to his word. He doesn't change. God blesses those who are generous. Maybe you want to believe and trust what the Bible says, but maybe the reality is that giving is just tough for you. It's tough for many people. Maybe the idea of giving a tithe, a tenth of your income, is just too much of a stretch for you to even fathom right now. You know, I get it. You know, I know that when there is uncertainty in my life, and obviously COVID, wars, rising costs of living, it all contributes to life's uncertainties. And I know that when that happens, I can start to tighten up the belt, and I've caught myself starting to ask whether we can still afford to give our tithe. But I've been around long enough to have experienced God's blessing in my life. Now, in our early marriage, Kyle and I earned next to nothing. It was pretty bad. We would have got more money from Centrelink if we were on that than what we did from our full-time jobs. And then we had kids and mortgages, and Kyle went back to study at uni when we had a mortgage and children. And those days were so tough. They were so tough. But we constantly saw God's provision for our family. We gave our tithe, even though it felt so counterintuitive some days, and we tested God in his promises, and he was faithful, and he continues to be faithful every day. Now, I've got a video to share with you, and I hope this will be helpful for some of you.
Meet Jim. Hello. Jim and his family started coming to church to wrestle with the big questions of life, meaning, purpose, and destiny. The church community slowly began to feel more and more like family, but Jim and his family knew at some point the church was going to raise the issue of money. It seemed like the only church people openly talking about money were ladies with big hair and southern accents and shady televangelists looking to add on to their mansions.
Praise the Lord.
It turned out Jim wasn't alone in his thinking. A lot of people saw giving money to the church as something for suckers or really radical Christians. Jim began to think. He wondered about all the stuff he had accumulated. His second snowboard, his television for the garage, all the items he purchased from the Sky Mall, especially the personal submarine. All those things he had to have were really of no value at all. Jim decided to turn his investigating to the Bible. A picture slowly began to emerge about giving and money. It turned out giving really wasn't about the church at all. It was about Jim's own heart. The people who seemed to get it right in the Bible were the ones who were both able to manage money and give it away freely. They were unencumbered by the need to have more stuff. Jim liked that idea. The Bible painted a picture of God as giver of everything. Jim was determined to reconsider how he thought about all his stuff and who it belonged to. So Jim and his family decided to give 1% of their income back to God, and then nothing really super awesome happened. At least visibly. Jim wasn't better looking. He wasn't granted special superpowers. His kids weren't instantly more loving to each other. But something was different. Jim felt more connected to his church community. He didn't feel conned by the church because it wasn't about the church. It was about what God was doing in his own heart. Jim was astonished. He began thinking about living a bit more simply, dealing with debt, and continuing to increase in his generosity. He actually started thinking about a future in which he would give 5, 6, and even 10% and beyond. But for now, he'd take a small step. And Jim's heart began to expand, ever so slightly.
So today, whether you are considering whether you should start giving, or perhaps you're feeling convicted to give more, wherever you are in this journey right now, I just want to encourage you to consider taking the next step. It's between you and God. Be faithful in this. Just take the next step. You know, trust him in this. See where God shows up. Trust that God is the giver of everything. Trust that he is dependable because he doesn't change. Trust his promises to bless those who are generous. And like Jim, give your heart the opportunity to just get a little bit bigger for the things of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and for your presence. and for the work of your Holy Spirit. We ask, God, that you would speak into our lives, help us to be faithful and increase our heart of generosity. Lord, I ask that you would take what I know is a challenging message for some, and I pray that it would penetrate our hearts and that we would be different in your presence because we know the truth of who you are and trust your promises will come to pass. Help us to acknowledge that everything we have comes from you. God, do a work in us. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith and the gift of giving in our lives, not just in the area of finance, but in every area of our lives. We are called to give all of our life to you, not just 10% of it, but 100% of it. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for holding back parts of our lives. Help us to give our whole life to you, including the area of finances. Church, as we continue to pray in this moment with our heads down and our eyes closed, if you would, we've spoken today about God's generosity. He's the ultimate giver. We are told in John 3:16, perhaps the best known verse in all the Bible, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now today there will be some of you who are going to realize that actually you're not ready to give to God because you're not actually walking with God yet. You are not in a vibrant daily relationship with him. You're not even really sure where you stand with God. You may have been in church a long time, but you really don't know him. Now perhaps you're not really a church person or a Bible person, and yet maybe you do believe there is a God, but you don't really know where you stand with him. And let me just tell you about the most generous gift ever. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, was born and lived a perfect and sinless life. He shed his blood on a cross and he died for you and me, and he rose again as the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. And perhaps that is why you are here today. So what can you do to be made right with God? Well, Scripture tells us that you can't do any good works. There is nothing. It doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter how much you do. It's only by the grace of God that you can be saved. The Bible says that it is the gift of a generous God. Salvation is the gift of God that comes by grace through faith when you believe that Jesus is enough. And what happens when you believe Jesus is enough? Well, God gave you the first gift, Jesus. And guess what you give him in return? You give him the second gift, and it's not money. It is far more valuable than money. It is your life. You give him your life. If you want to find life, the Bible says you lose it. You give it all to God. There are those of you today that I believe God has brought you specifically for this moment. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to you and you recognize, I am not in a relationship with God. And I want to tell you today that today is the day that you can give your life to God through his Son, Jesus. I invite you to call on him today and say, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And when you do, he will forgive you and he will transform you. And if that is your prayer today, I need you, God. I give you my life. I give my life to you. Would you just lift your hands real high right now? Just say, that's me. And as a sign of declaration, just put your hand up and say, yes, I want to receive the gift of salvation from God. I want to be right with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand at the back there. If you're online, you can respond in the comments if you feel led to, or you can send a message to the team. We're going to have a time of extended worship right now. And during this time, our prayer team is going to be available for ministry down here by the prayer banner. And I'm going to move down there too. And that means that if you need prayer for anything, anything going on in your world, you can come and you can ask the team to pray for you. If you raised your hand this morning and you said, yes, I want to give my life today, perhaps you didn't raise your hand, maybe it was an internal thing, Would you please come and tell someone, our prayer team, and they will lead you through a prayer, and they will give you a little pack with some goodies to help you in your journey. But if God is talking to you today, don't put him off. Take a step of faith today. Be courageous and step out. But let's stand and let's do business with God right now.